Hey, you want that to go?
Yeah, let's get some takeout. Yeah.
Takeouts on news, absolutely. We're going to go first to Washington. Attorney General Eric Holder was on Capitol Hill yesterday answering some questions, a lot of questions from senators in the Senate Judiciary Committee. He was mostly defending his decision to try the alleged mastermind of the September 11th attacks, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, in a civilian court in New York City. So Todd Zwillick was there. Todd, what was Congress most interested in finding out about?
Hi, Celeste. Good morning. Well, what they really wanted to know, especially Republicans, is why a civilian trial? We have a military tribunal system. Khalid Sheikh Mohammed's been held at a military installation for 8 years since 9/11. Why a criminal trial in New York? And they weren't the only ones with that question. There was an interesting moment after this hearing. A woman named Alice Hoagland, who's a retired flight attendant from California, her son, Mark Bingham, was killed on Flight 93. She confronted Attorney General Eric Holder after the hearing to say she didn't know why this trial had to be moved to New York in a civilian trial. It was a very, very interesting exchange. I got it on tape and I want to listen to it here. Holder's basically saying, there's things I know about the evidence that you don't know that make it the best decision, but I can't tell you why. Listen to this.
I am not a bit sure that this move is anything that's going to be a healing.
I responded to one of the last questions. This is almost a trust me thing, I suppose, but there are reasons why bringing this case in an Article III court, when it comes to the admissibility of certain evidence, is really the right way to go and really maximizes our chances of getting a successful outcome.
Okay. We'll defer judgment.
Okay, well, she may be
great
ready
job,
to
Todd.
Defer judgment, and she may be willing to trust Eric Holder, but I can't imagine that the Republicans are willing to do that.
No, you're right. Republicans aren't happy about this at all. You hit it on the head, Celeste. They have some real big questions about a civilian criminal trial. You know, people who have criminal trials in the United States have rights. And the questions Republicans have are, hey, Attorney General, what if there's a mistrial? What if Khalid Sheikh Mohammed is acquitted? What if a judge orders him let go? What are you going to do if a judge orders him to be let go? The Attorney General's decision, his response to that at first was, I can't foresee a scenario where he wouldn't be acquitted. I've told my prosecutors that failure's not an option. We will never let him go. He won't be acquitted. Senator John Cornyn of Texas said, I hope you're right.
Okay, thanks, Todd. That's Todd, our takeaway Washington correspondent.
And, of course, he has pleaded. We expect him to plead guilty, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed.
Todd Zwillick.
So, yeah, Todd Zwillick is always pleading guilty on
That's
our
right.
program. Well, this morning, a little economics lesson and some news from Louise Story, finance reporter for our partner, The New York Times. To be
morning.
Successful, Louise, right, if you're a retailer, you have to be able to make your prices stick, right? Right?
Right.
And if consumers believe they just wait that prices are going to drop, they don't buy. It's kind of a retail psych out.
Right.
And some luxury retailers, you say, like Saks Fifth Avenue, are trying to out-psych out skeptical consumers.
They are. I mean, if you remember, John, retailers blew it last year because you put in holiday orders in the summer before the holidays, and they failed to see the recession that was looming. They ordered way too much. And over the holidays, they discounted. You could buy a lot of stuff very cheaply. So they're trying to reverse that, but it's a bit like a contest to see who will blink first. So they're throwing down the gauntlet. You've got the chief executive of Saks who talked to one of my colleagues at the New York Times and talked about how they're not going to mark stuff down. It's all the exclusivity. They don't have very much of any of the inventory.
So they're saying they don't have much. They're using scarcity.
Right.
To combat my skepticism about if I just wait prices.
Well, they're telling us it's scarce. They're telling us that we're returning to exclusivity and that if you want that exclusive item, you better run in and get it. But I kind of wonder if people want exclusive things anymore, if they're going to pay $3,000 for some pricey jacket.
Well, let's ask. I mean, if you're
good question.
If you
for
buy
our
this,
yep.
Is scarcity going to work for you? Will you take something at a higher price if you think you're not going to be able to get it if you wait a week? Call us at 877-8-MINDTAKER or email us at mindtaker@takeaway.org. What do you think? Do you think that works?
You know what I've been doing lately? I call it shopping in my closet. I go in, I find something I haven't worn for a long time, and suddenly it's new. And so I don't know that I'm going to go out and buy something just for it to be exclusive. I like my closet.
Very quickly, does this only work for luxury retailers, or is this the kind of thing that would work across the board?
It's more commonly a tactic of luxury retailers. But remember, stores like Saks
come
up mass
recently.
Don't
you guys remember the Cabbage Patch doll craze?
That's
works
true.
Especially
That's
true. For
well,
kids.
But not at $5,000 tax. price tag still.
new toys in the attic. That's
right.
New toys
in the attic.
Louise Story, thanks so much.
And our last takeout comes from you. We were talking yesterday about news from a government panel that wants to change the recommended age when women should start breast cancer screening. They pushed that recommended age forward 10 years, and you should start at 50 rather than 40, they say. And we asked our listeners what they thought. Well, some of you think screening should start younger, not later.
I think it's ludicrous. I think everyone from the age 30 up needs a yearly mammogram and a pap smear if you're a woman and a physical if you're a man.
The next caller shared a personal story of the benefits of early screening.
I might say that I have no family history of breast cancer and began getting mammograms at age 40, and I was diagnosed with breast cancer at age 45. I wonder what would have happened if I'd waited until age 50. I'm going to be fine.
Not everybody.
You know, it's stories like that that make the whole debate over this incredibly difficult, because that's one data point. But still,
it is.
You can't argue with her.
You can't argue with her.
No.
But, you know, on the macro level, the story changes, and not everyone agrees with her. Megan from Brooklyn emailed us at mytakeofthetakeaway.org. She writes, I'm 36. I'm someone who's already had a false positive based on a lump I discovered through self-exam. Even though there's breast cancer in my family, I don't plan to have annual mammograms. They're not always the best tools, and the stress of another false positive isn't something I want to deal with again. In the meantime, I keep feeling for problems, radiation-free. But Andy Thomas from Ann Arbor, Michigan, writes with a sad story. He says, my wife did not get a mammogram at 40 because at the time it wasn't recommended. 4 years later, she was diagnosed with stage 2 breast cancer and eventually died of the disease. I firmly believe that had she had a screening mammogram 4 years earlier, she would be alive today. Stories on and views on breast cancer screening coming from you, our listeners, and more of them.
You need Freakonomics to resolve this kind of a debate. All week long, we've been speaking with Freakonomics author Stephen Dubner, who says, what people say is different from what people do, and he'd rather watch their actions rather than what they say. Tell us your take at 877-8-MY-TAKE or send us an email to mytake@thetakeaway.org. Is it walking the walk or talking the talk that matters?